morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio. And opening up tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Shreveport Little Theater, it's a new production of Inherit the Wind, a play by Jerome Lawrence and Robert Lee, and directed here by Mary Joris. And joining me now in our Knoll Foundation studios are Bobby Darrow, who's the managing artistic director of the Shreveport Little Theater, along with actors George Sewell and Jeff Lowe. And they're here to share some details about this new production. Guys, welcome, and thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
You bet. Inherit the Wind, this is based, loosely upon real-life events, the Scopes Monkey Trials of the 1920s. And, it was a national sensation, the trials and everything. Can you give us a little bit of background about those trials? And then we'll talk a little bit about how the play differs from the actual historic events and why those differences are important in this play. So,
well, the monkey trial itself, on the surface, pitted the teachings of evolution, if you will, versus a state law in Tennessee at that time that forbade the teaching of that particular curriculum in the public schools. And if he wasn't born in Shreveport, I know that John Scopes certainly died in Shreveport, so there's a Shreveport connection to the teacher. Who did teach a chapter of evolution in his high school science class, and he was arrested and he was prosecuted for violating that state law. So that's the legal table for the actual story, and it attracted quite a bit of national attention. You had some of the titans of national politics come in, both as prosecution and defense, and I'll defer that to Bobby Darrow to elaborate on.
Okay. And, Williams Jennings Bryant, he was one of the protagonists in the original Scopes Monkey Trial. Very famous man, very charismatic. He was a national preacher and a moral leader, and he ran for president several
times.
Three times. He didn't win, but he ran, and he was a big figure. Bobby, could you explain a little bit about his role in that, and then we'll get into the play and how it digests that.
Well, I could better explain my distant relative, Clarence Darrow.
Okay.
I have to preface this. My father was a Southern Baptist minister, so Clarence was the black sheep of the family, teaching evolution and backing evolution. But I recently looked up the lineage of genealogy, and he is my great-grandfather's sister's son. So I'm sure there's other ways you could say that, but that's the way I can remember my great-grandfather's sister's son. And Clarence Darrow was famous for many trials in the early part of the century, and Scopes Monkey Trial propelled him to national, international fame.
Yeah, he was sort of the big name then. I'm trying to think of a big name now, and I'm drawing a blank, but he's all over the news media right now.
Working on the news media at the time,
right.
One of the leading journalism / critics covering the trial was H.L. Mencken.
Right, yes.
And that's the character basis for Jeff's character,
right? Yeah,
E.J. Hornbeck.
Alan Dershowitz was the one I was thinking. He was of that stature in that era. So let's get into the play. Give us the gist of the play and break that down for us. It roughly, loosely parodies the real events, but there's some extra characters thrown in.
Yeah, the entire play actually lasts a little bit over 2 hours, and the thing is that there are many, many parallels between what happens in the play and the actual Scopes Monkey Trials that happened back in 1925. It's still in Tennessee, it's a fictional town, but also it just ties in, just as George has mentioned, just about a high school teacher that dares to teach evolution in a location that one of the lines in the play in the play tonight is actually that they refer to it as the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Right.
And so it's very, very heavily creationist. How dare someone teach something that does not align with the Bible, and so that this has gone directly against state laws. So there are some other side stories, of course, just with the high school teacher's girlfriend, shall we say, and also just with a number of other cases with our townspeople as well. So it's a very, very interesting and riveting play.
And, of course, to add to the dramatic appeal, the aforementioned girl is the daughter of the reverend.
Right. Not the reverend who's on the stand, but the good reverend of the community.
Right.
Yeah. And he is close friends with the William Jennings Bryant character, who is in this play called Matthew Brady. So they are connected.
Correct.
And the daughter is actually, is she not in love with the protagonist?
She is in love with the defendant.
Yeah. So we have a difficult circle of relationships there. So, Bobby, why don't you take us through the cast and who are the characters playing each of these people, and who are these people?
Well, if Mary Joris were here, she would do a great job at that. But, Bill, I do not have a cast listed.
We'll let the other cast members. You've got Matthew Harrison Brady, and he is going to be played by Jim Cowles.
That's correct.
Okay. And who is playing Henry Drummond?
Henry Drummond is being played by Meade Patton.
Okay.
And Meade has done a number of different productions at the Shreveport Little Theater in the past.
Two very strong actors.
Right. And in this play, Henry Drummond is the Clarence Darrow character. So he is the one defending our young teacher for defending evolution. And actually, in real life, I believe that Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryant had been friends at one time.
Yes,
so,
very much so.
So they are pitted against each other, and it's like two friends, you know, trying to one-up each other in the courtroom in some sense. It's almost a personal battle of titans and intellectuals in that sense. So,
Bill, I wanted to comment on what a timely show this is.
Okay.
Well, it's such a timely show. When it was written by Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee, it was about 30 years after the actual events.
And it was actually in the 1950s.
Right. And the actual event was 1925. And it was loosely written as a comment to McCarthyism in those dark days. And it's very timely now. We're 94 years later, and we're still debating whether to teach religion in the schools or not.
Right.
So it's as fresh today as it ever was.
And it's a very touchy subject for a lot of people.
You know?
Some people come with a great deal of passion and sincere beliefs, and you know, they don't want their beliefs challenged in their own school system.
Right.
Whereas, you know, science is just kind of about figuring things out, let the chips fall where they may, you know. So it's a difficult subject matter. Can you go through some of the other production elements of this? What's your stage going to be designed like?
Oh, it's a gorgeous set.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it's a marvelous set that presents both a very fine courtroom, but at the same time, it also presents the main street of the little community. And it's a very large cast. We have a very lively bunch of town folks who are integral parts of the entire process, both in the courtroom and in the middle of town. And that gives a lot of energy to the production. And the idea is to reflect the fervent beliefs, if you will, of the townsfolk for this almost circus event that they're unaccustomed to, but they're really liking, because he got these two towering figures coming in town. The new element of radio is appearing in their town, so it's going to be the first time that you had a trial like this actually broadcast. So all sorts of first-time events are occurring in this little town, and the folk, they're loving it.
Yeah.
They're loving it.
Yeah. As George did mention, it is a large cast. It's roughly about 38 people that are in this cast when you tack on the townspeople as well as the jurors that we have as well. And so the costumes also are quite vivid and definitely worthy of the time period that this happened.
So you went all out and tried to capture that moment in time through costuming.
Not specific for 1925, but to certainly capture the feel for the first quarter of the 20th century.
Uh-huh. So Jeff, tell us about your character. He's based upon Mencken, but he's called E.K. Hornbeck.
Yes, and there's a number of parallels just between E.K. Hornbeck and H.L. Mencken. That H.L. Mencken, of course, was a very satirical, cynical fellow. He was an atheist as well, but he's very, very strongly on the evolution camp, and so he has a lot of very vivid, colorful speech. In fact, the name for the monkey trial is actually an H.L. Mencken creation.
Right.
So that it was just called the Scopes trial, but then when he saw that just with the monkey element that he included just with that. And so as a result, there's a number of parts of the play that I have some very, very colorful and vivid lines. So it's fascinating and funny.
So what is it in the Mencken character that brings him to such cynicism about humanity? He can't see anybody doing anything for just the pure good of it, it seems like. He can't bring himself to understand those kinds of motivations in people. So he's always looking for that element of what's in it for them, you know, it seems like.
Absolutely, that's very true. So,
yeah, the Henry Drummond character, the Clarence Darrow character, if you will, sums up E.J. Hornbeck very nicely towards the end of the show, reminding him that you never put a noun next to a verb except to blow something up.
Right, yeah. So his motivation is all about sensationalism, and the Clarence Darrow character kind of puts him on the spot, too. There's an interesting phrase there about, he says, oh, I'll be sad because nobody will show up to your funeral. And the Mencken character says, oh, yeah, you'll be there. You're just the type. Kind of poking fun at his altruism or his sense of altruism. So, well, what else would you like to share about this particular production to draw people out?
Well, the character I play, the Reverend Jeremiah Brown, kind of sets the table for the courtroom drama. This is where his character presents the extremism of intense belief, and he takes it one step, I think, too far, but it sets the table for all the characters and all the dynamics that follow up in the big courtroom drama.
And there's also excellent energy just on the fact of especially Drummond and Brady, but also with a number of the with all the other members of the cast. It's a lot of different things that all come into motion, and especially one of the nice things I really enjoy about this is the fact that there's so many parallels between this play and the actual true monkey trial that happened back in 1925. It's, as they say, if you're not careful, you may learn something. Kind of thing.
So. And you do, you learn a lot about, you know, that fighting that goes on inside the mind between deeply held personal beliefs and newly discovered realities that conflict with those. You just, you know, there's that cognitive dissonance that occurs.
And that's the proper phrase.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that in this. Even with the Clarence Darrow character, he's a little conflicted, and with the Brady character as well as everybody else, there's a lot of cognitive dissonance. Even the judge is like, I don't want to be the judge of this trial because it's not doing me any good, and it looks silly, but he has to play his role, you know.
And that's part of what makes the script so interesting, and frankly one reason why I was very happy to come back to the stage to do this role. There's a lot of humor in this play. There are parts that are just absolutely funny.
And that can make you laugh at yourself.
Another aspect is that Mary Joris, the director, has decided for the Shreveport Little Theater production to include music.
Oh.
So George Hancock is heading up a group of three musicians that underscore the play and add a lot of energy and nuance. And also there's choreography. We have a choreographer working with the show. So don't expect come to see just a straight drama. There's a lot of comedy, as they said, and you'll hear a little music as well.
Well, that's interesting. If you can take Scrooge and make a musical out of it, which they did back in the day, and I can still hear the tunes in my head, then I wonder if you could take this and make a full-blown musical out of it.
I think it's more atmospheric, isn't it?
Yeah, that's more it.
you do the dance of the church ladies in the court or whatever. I mean, you could have some fun and you know, just kind of make a comedy, you know. So
there's our first million, Bill.
There you go. There you go.
Well, you heard it here first.
You write the tunes, I'll come up with the lyrics. So, well, let's get down to the brass tacks. And can you tell folks about the show times and how they go about getting tickets?
Yes, the show starts at 7:30, and so it will be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this weekend, as well as Thursday, Friday, and Saturday next weekend, all at 7:30 each night. And there are two Sunday matinees, one coming up on this Sunday and then the one next Sunday as well.
There is not a second Thursday performance, however. Oh, okay. That's a private performance.
Yes, I'm sorry. I should have included that.
Oh, I wasn't invited.
Tickets are $22 for adults and $20 for seniors, students, and active military. And you can purchase our tickets by going online at ShreveportLittleTheater.com or by calling our box office at 424-4439.
And Little Theater's been going since 98, is it?
This next season will be our 98th season, starting in July.
So a few years. You got, got a little bit of time under your belt.
Well, I believe it's still safe to say, Bobby, that the Shreveport Little Theater is the oldest continuously performing little theater in the United States.
Yes. And the connection you guys have, I mean, George Carlin, there's just been so many people who have come out of Shreveport Little Theater, yes, and, you know, whether they're young actors in high school and college doing their thing and have moved on, it's amazing the connections. Can you just fill up folks in for, you know, there's always new people like me who don't understand this stuff because I've only been here 8 years, so I don't have that long history, but your connections are astounding.
Well, you mentioned George Carlin. He performed in 1958 in a play called Desk Set while he was stationed at Barksdale Air Force Base. And he is also a DJ at K-Joe Radio, which used to be here. We've also had Rick Hawkins come through the Shreveport Little Theater, a Shreveport native. And he went on to produce and write for Carol Burnett and Major Dead and many TV shows. Also, they held Gone with the Wind auditions at Shreveport Little Theater in their search for Scarlett O'Hara and found a young lady, Marcella Martin, who actually appeared in a small role in Gone with the Wind.
Okay.
And just so many people have come through our doors and gone on to great things.
It's a great launching point for a lot of people, and it's a great community asset to have in this community.
It truly is, and it's happy to see that the Little Theater is it's artistic machinery. You're going to have a production on the stage. Meanwhile, you're having another production in rehearsal in the studio, and meanwhile, you're having auditions for another show. So it's a tremendous theater machine.
Yeah, and a lot of organization goes into all of that. So you've got a good crew of people that are organizing for you as well.
I know. A lot of volunteers. We're volunteer-based and driven.
Yeah, so. Well, do you have any final thoughts you want to share with folks to get them out to the theater?
Well, I'd like to say that this is a Mary Joris production, which speaks volumes.
Right.
All of her, she's so detailed. And all of her productions are wonderful. They usually win Best Play of the Year. And if you come see Inherit the Wind, you'll see why.
All right. Any other thoughts?
For anybody who has not had the experience of live theater, check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. That is something that you cannot experience at the movie house. You're not going to experience it in your living room streaming. There's an energy there, and if the show is well done, and they are, you will have what they call a suspension of belief, that you're going to forget for just a little bit that you're in a theater.
Right.
Well, no, you're participating mentally with these characters before you who are, well, depending on what the plot is, they got you.
Yeah.
And it's riveting.
It draws you in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an experience that is very distinct. The theater is a one-time experience. The same show is never presented twice.
Right.
Even though we'll have multiple performances, each performance will be distinctly different for any number of reasons. So each performance, as far as the performers go, we have to presume that this is brand new for everybody, and give it all the energy and attention it deserves, and that makes for the unique experience that the audience has.
And also, you know, each production makes for a reflection on the actor's part. Well, you know, maybe I could have done this slightly different here. You know, you go through that, and so there are some changes in how you approach the character as it evolves through each production, isn't there?
Yes, that's true. And also, one of the things, too, is about this play is that it's a very, very... very, very true drama. There's a lot of very deep intrigue with it. There's also, as George mentioned, is that there's an element of comedy in it as well. So it caters to a number of different tastes. And so that's one of the things. I have been involved with community theater in a lot of locations in across a number of places in the United States as well as Canada and New Zealand. And this one is particularly riveting and deep, and so it's definitely a treat to be involved, especially with Mary Jarris.
Absolutely fascinating. Well, Bobby, George, and Jeff, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
You betcha. That was Bobby Darrell, Managing Artistic Director of the Shreveport Little Theater, along with actors George Sewell and Jeff Lowe, and they joined me in our Knoll Foundation studios this morning to discuss a new production of Inherit the Wind by Shreveport Little Theater that opens up tonight at 7:30 p.m. And there'll be multiple performances this weekend and next weekend, including two Sunday matinees. Shreveport Little Theater is located at 812 Margaret Place in Shreveport. And for complete details, you can visit them online at shreveportlittletheater.com or call 318-424-4439. That's 318-424-4439. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.